Let's give the Lord a great big hand of praise for his presence, for his glory. Wonderful. You know, if we have ears to hear what the Spirit is saying today, I believe that this is a big call. A call for you. Look, it's one thing of being in his presence, but how's that helping anybody else, right? There's a call. There's a call for us. And God has laid it on my heart. Just to back up what the two pastors have been saying is, it's like the upper room. After Jesus was done with them, he said, go into the upper room and stay there. Soak. Wait for my presence. Wait for the Holy Spirit, and it'll come upon you. And they waited with hunger. If you're not hungering and thirsting after him, everything else that you're living for is vanity. Just pure vanity. What God has laid on my heart this morning in the message is about the anointing. We need to understand what the anointing is. I have a list here of what labels the anointing, and I'm going to go over this. But in a nutshell, if we don't have the anointing, we don't have life. Life is in the anointing. Life is in the presence. Life is in the glory. Life is in all that we've been talking about, but it's the anointing. And what is the anointing? Jesus was considered the anointed one. He was also looked upon as the Christ. Glory to the nations is nothing but the anointing. It's nothing but declaring the anointing. How do you receive the anointing? What is the, you know, some people out there, they think the anointing is gifts. They think that, oh, you're anointed because you got a gift of healing, or you got a gift of prophecy, or you got a gift of this, or you got a gift of that. It's far from the truth. It's a part, but it's far. The anointing is in everyone, but it's dormant. And the anointing needs to be birthed. The anointing needs to be brought out. The anointing has to begin to be alive in our lives. But I need to go to the basics of this message, and then we'll get to, I guess, the meat of it. I'm going to lay out there's five things about the anointing. There's a thing called the ordinary. The anointing the body or head with oil was a common practice with the Jews and with other Oriental nations. You'll hear about the anointing of taking oil and laying it on your head and anointing you. But it was a process of what is really to come. There's an official meaning based on it was a rite or an inauguration into each of the three typical offices of the Jewish Commonwealth. Prophets were occasionally anointed to their office and were called messiahs or the anointed. Priests at the first institution of the Levitical priesthood were all anointed to their offices. But afterwards, anointing seems to have special reserves for the high priest. So there was a process of demonstrating a call. You're called, so I'm going to take this oil and anoint you and bring you into this office. Then there's also anointing was the principal or divinely appointed ceremony in the inauguration of the Jewish kings. The rite was sometimes performed more than once. David was anointed three times. Inanimate objects were also anointed with oil in token of their being set apart for religious service, such as Jacob anointed a pillar at Bethel. But it was also meant to be set apart. There's another meaning of the anointing, which is ecclesi- 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 ecclesiastical. Ecclesio. Ecclesiastical. Yeah, that's it. Anointing with oil is prescribed by St. James to be used for the recovery of the sick. So a lot of times they would take the anointing, but it's really the gift of the office or laying on of hands. In the Old Testament, a deliverer is promised under the title Messiah or the Anointed. Take notice, a deliverer. And the nature of his anointing is described to be spiritual with the Holy Ghost. In the New Testament, Jesus of Nazareth is shown to be the Messiah or Christ or Anointed. Take notice that they broke it up three different ways of the Old Testament. Being anointed with the Holy Ghost. Christ is anointed as prophet, priest, and king. But a glory to the nations. All that is really all good and traditional and yada, yada, yada. But our belief, what we are called, is to bring this anointing, but it's to bring the spiritual anointing. The spiritual anointing with the Holy Ghost is confirmed upon Christians by God. An anointing expresses the sanctifying influences of the Holy Spirit upon Christians who are priests, kings unto God. It's about being set apart. It's about devoting your life into the presence of God, committing yourself unto Him as a priest, as a king. In the past, I used to say, my desire is that you would know who you are. That it is no longer you that lives, but the anointing, Christ, lives inside of you. There is a deliverer inside of all of us. It delivers us from us. It delivers us from us and brings us into the presence of God. Brings us into God. Brings us into His will. It no longer do we live a life on our own, but we live our life in God's will. So if you really wanted to look at what the anointing is the divine nature of Christ living inside of us, which we know it's our heart, right? I mean, we've been speaking about this heart and the desire of the heart. And when you follow the heart, you're following God, you're following His word, you're following the anointing. And in that is the deliverer of us. If we're not following the anointing, we're not following God's will. We're not in His will. We don't even know God. God is the anointing. How many people understand this? God is the anointing. The anointing is our life. It's our liberty. It's our healing. It's our deliverance. But we don't get the anointing just by words. We get the anointing by life change. Not only do we get the anointing by life change, but the anointing is given to you, appointed by God. Hunger. Hunger is the root of getting the anointing. If you're not hungry, if you're not crying out, if your heart's not broken and contrite to the point where you're saying, I need help, God, I need to be delivered, I need life, what you're asking for is you need the anointing. That's what you're asking for. You're asking for the anointing to deliver you from the place of being upset or miserable, where you're confused, lost, you don't have no concept of peace or joy, none. My desire is that we do start seeking the anointing. Cry out for it. Get the anointing into our lives so that we can be as Jesus. He was an example of for us. If you see Him, you see the Father. What were you seeing? The anointing. You were seeing the anointing. And in that anointing, God's will is done. It's done in your life. You don't have to be concerned about anything other than the anointing, because if the anointing is in your life, then God leads his anointed. He guides, directs, leads, and brings you to a place. Listen, our minds is the enemy of God. And we've said this many, many times. Our mind is the enemy of God. We try to reason. We try to figure it out. We're constantly under attack. Our thoughts don't shut up. They rattle and rattle and rattle and rattle to no end. Pressures come from the world. They affect you. You have a weight. You have a burden. Your mind just rattles and rattles and rattles to the point where it causes your heart to be troubled. The anointing keeps your heart strong. It sets it apart from the world. It makes it a pillar. Despite whatever happens in your life, the anointing is our Savior. People would think Jesus is our Savior. No, it's the anointing that he carried is our Savior. The world needs to begin to understand the true gospel and to begin to understand how to obtain the true message gospel for their life. And without the process of sharing how to get it, like what Sam and Tim said this morning about how to pursue and have his glory, the presence of God in our lives, and how to just put everything aside and seek God and God only to the point where he comes in and anoints you. That's where everyone's heart should be. It's almost like I want to say, whatever you're doing, stop. Stop. And seek him with all your heart, soul, and mind before you can actually find a life. Because our life is in him. In him is life. Now you need grace. Without grace, you're going to be tossed to and fro from every wind of doctrine. This place is a foundation and a pillar of grace. And without grace, you're lost. You can seek God all you want, but you know the anointing can lift on your life too. And you can walk with pride. You can walk as if you have the knowledge and everything else, but if you're honest with yourself, where's the peace? Where's the joy? Where's the righteousness? In the kingdom of God is where you subsist. You sustain the anointing. This is where the anointing stays. I've seen some things in my life, and I've seen the manifestations of heaven, and then I saw when the manifestation of heaven began to lift, and I looked at the circumstances, and I understood why. Because it wasn't encamped around peace and joy and righteousness. It was in an atmosphere that was stealing the peace and joy and righteousness. So the anointing needs to be protected. You need to protect the anointing. It's not like a common thing where you can just wander it around. It's almost like this. If you're mean to something, you think it's going to hang around and stay? It's going to go off. It's just like the Holy Ghost. Just like the anointing. The Holy Ghost is what the power of the anointing is. Christ, I would say, is the anointing. And it's the fullness of the anointing in the kingdom of God is God. How many people grab that one? So you can have the anointing. Power of the Holy Spirit. It can come on you in a measure. It could come to you that day because God still wants to be glorified. So he could just come and drop on you for that day. Oh, you did a miracle. Wonderful. Now all of a sudden, you think you're anointed. You can take all those gifts from you. I don't care. You know what I want? I want the anointing of God. Where I hear his voice. I have a conviction in my heart. I'm living in the kingdom. Now I'm anointed. That's where Jesus said, if you see me, you see the Father. He was in the kingdom of God with the anointing that brought the presence of God, and God was with him. How many people are grabbing what I'm saying? Let's go deep with this anointing. Let's go deep with the anointing. I made a commitment in my heart for 2018 to help lead us all into the kingdom of God. Because when we're all led into the kingdom of God and we have the anointing and we enter into the kingdom of God, what's happening? We are now dwelling with God. We now are with His presence. You know, having His presence for an hour or a half a day or a day or maybe even a good week, that's wonderful. But how about 24/7s? Why not? Why not? Cares is one of the biggest things that robs the anointing. When Jesus made a comment, He says, I'm no longer in the world. I may be in the world, but I'm not of it. He says, I may be living in a place, but my heart's not there. My heart is with my Father. My heart is dwelling in that presence. My heart is in the comfort of the kingdom. My heart is in the kingdom of God. My heart is in a place of peace and joy and righteousness. Despite all that was going on around them, He just dwelled in the secret place. No one can take you out of the secret place. Know this. No matter what you come under, no matter the circumstances, if you know God, He renews your mind to see and overcome the powers. I want to tell you right now, there are powers that want to take you out of the kingdom of God. We said it before many times. It's called wickedness. It's called just powers and principalities. And they're there to do this. Take away your peace, take away your joy, and put guilt and shame and condemnation. But the Bible says there is no guilt or no condemnation in Christ, in the anointing. There is none. And if you know who you are, if you know who you are, you're the anointed one. If you know who you are, and those things begin to bother you or take away your joy, you got to pull your anointing back in. You got to say, no, I'm a child of God. No. No one can take your anointing away. No one. Only yourself, by submitting to the powers, to the principalities, to the wickedness in high places. But what builds you up to know who you are? That's the question. We can say all these things, but what is the determining factor? I'm going to tell you, and you're probably all in a good place. You got to basically throw your life away. You got to throw your life away. Paul says, I die daily. That was his way of throwing his life away. If it's going to be a constant about you, then you're living. If you can throw your life away and just look at God working through your life and know that you have no control on the hearts or the minds of those that are around you or the influences that are around you, and know that you are alone in His presence, you're alone. How many of us can take that place of being one with Him? It's very hard. Some of us feel like we need people or we need things in our lives. What we need to do is come to that point where we say to ourselves, we don't need anything but God. No one, no thing. That's difficult to deal with. That's very difficult to do. It's very hard to say it's only you and God. And that whatever you do, you're going to do it all in Him. It's very difficult. But when it comes to the bottom line and your spirit is taken out of your body, where are you at? Standing before him alone. Why not stand before him alone now and be into that place in the anointing? I'm going to tell you right now, the anointing could be a very great place, but it could be a very scary place too. In the beginning, if you don't know what the anointing is, and someone says to you, you got to forsake all, and you got to renounce everything, and all that, I'm going to tell you right now, who wants the anointing on that one? I'm going to be like, you can keep the anointing. That's only for certain people. They're for them that, you know, the monks that disappear in the mountains. They're for those people, you know, the ones that want to make that lifestyle for themselves and live this way. But that's not for me. But it is for you. It's God's will in every one of our lives to be anointed. It's God's will for every one of us to be anointed. I'm going to say it again. It's God's will for every one of us to be anointed. It is the divine nature of Christ dwelling inside of us. And all these Christians out there saying, oh, I'm confessing Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Yeah, where's the anointing? Where is it? You're going to die and leave this earth and you're going to find out that there was no anointing. He's going to say, get away from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you because you never worked for the anointing. You always worked for iniquity, not for the anointing. I don't know about you, but I want to hunger for the thirst after the anointing. I want the anointing in my life, despite the persecution, the sufferings, all that stuff. Because I'm going to tell you right now, when darkness starts seeing the anointing, they're going to hate it. They hated Jesus without a cause. How many people have heard this? Think about it. And it's not about being hated. It's about being anointed. It's not about being blessed. It's about the anointing. Listen, tomorrow you're going to be blessed. Tomorrow you're going to be cursed. Tomorrow you're going to be blessed. Tomorrow, you're going to be cursed. It's never going to stop. How many people have experienced this already in their life? Amen. You're human. But in the anointing, you're blessed. You're always blessed. You're blessed without measure. You have a heart that says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Curses don't come upon you. And blessings, I'm going to tell you right now, you kind of like say, I don't know if I want to receive it. How many people have ever done that before? It's actually our nature to deny a gift. How many people have denied a gift? Come on, let's be real. Someone wanted to gift you, oh, no, thank you. Oh. A lot of times we think it's the pride that's inside of us and all that, but at the same time, how do you know it is? Now we know that all gifts come from God, so we're like, oh, okay, let me have that. And then there's a point where you're saying, everything is from God in your mind. Everything is from God. If God is for you, who could be against you? I'm sharing these principles because darkness doesn't want you to be anointed. Darkness doesn't want you to be anointed. Remember that. It's one thing about coming into the presence of God. I want to come into the presence of God all the time. But are we emotionally ready to come into the presence of God? Because darkness doesn't want to take you into the presence of God. Darkness wants to take you out of the presence of God. I think this is why a lot of times, you know, the church is lukewarm because, you know, the sufferings that come upon the people is tough. Think about it. There's a thing out there that I always say, and Pastor Sam mentioned about idols. How Moses went up to the mountain. Was that you, Pastor Sam? Oh, that was Pastor Tim? I know I heard one of them. And that he was doing the best he could. And they came down and there was idols. And God's like a jealous God and he won't have any idols before him. And most people don't understand the sufferings that come along the anointing. And then they embrace a different God. It's called the pillow God. How many people have heard about the pillow God? They only go to God and constantly go, oh God, help me, help, venge my enemies, help me, Lord, don't do this, help me do that, help me, help me, help me, help me. Oh, I'm lost, I don't know where to do, I need to hear your will, I need to hear your voice, I need to... I'm going to tell you right now, we got to put that pillow God away, and we got to rejoice in everything, and begin to just keep rejoicing, and rejoicing, and rejoicing, and rejoicing, because God has a plan and a purpose for your life. And in that is the anointing. Your life is in the anointing. Your life may not be the same as my life, and your life might not be the same as this one's life, and this one's life may be different to that life, and so on and so forth. But God's will is in the anointing. God's will is in the anointing. And to be able to bring someone to the anointing, to allow them to hear God and be led by God on their own, is probably the greatest gift you can ever give anybody. And I believe that's very important for Glory to the Nations, to teach and to guide and to lead people into the presence of God, to understand what it is to be anointed, to understand when you're in the anointing, what happens, what takes place in your life when you're in the anointing. You know, what people think is when you're in the anointing, you're blessed. Hey, that's wonderful if you're blessed, but are you blessed because you're going to measure your anointing by your blessings? Your blessings? You measure the anointing by the joy and the peace and the righteousness. That's how you measure it. And only you can measure it. Only you are the judge. And if you have that joy and peace and righteousness in your heart, and you're honest with yourself, then you can see where you're anointed or where you're not. If you're not, then you just got to cry out again and say, God, you got to bring me into this place of and bring your grace. That's why it's important for GTTN, Glory to the Nations, to constantly teach the grace. Because without understanding of the grace, if you don't have the knowledge of the grace, how are you going to sustain the anointing? How are you going to hold on to that anointing? How are you going to protect that anointing? Guard it. How are you going to know that the anointing is being attacked? How do you know that false peace is not creeping in by the lust and the other stuff that comes with the pride of life and all that other stuff? How do you know? We need the discernment to understand all this stuff so that we can see. Because there's a will of us that brings in what we think. And your will, when it's being pampered, I guess you can say, you can have a little sustaining peace and joy and think that you're in the anointing. There's a lot of things that go along with understanding how to be in the anointing. Number one, we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to search our hearts, and we have to see, look constantly before we leap into anything. Look and seek and look. And listen, I even try to sometimes wait for confirmations, you know, kind of pull somebody out of the line and shop right and say, hey, you know, there's a lot of things that I do just to try to get, you know, witness. Because if God loves you, he knows when you're a fool and you come foolish to him and you really want to know and you're like, Lord, I just want to make sure I'm in you. Lord, I just want to make sure that I make all the right decisions in you. I just want to follow you with all my heart, soul, and mind. I just want to lay my life down into you. I just want to be in your presence. I taste and see that the Lord is good, and I don't want to taste anything else, Lord. So take all the bitterness and everything else that's in my mouth and put your presence. Put your presence in my mouth. I want to taste that. When you have that heart, God's not going to lead you down a bad path. When you're like waiting on Him and you wait until you got that confirmation in your heart and you know that you're doing the right thing. And listen, it might take years. Might take a day. Depending on the situation. And the reason why I say that is because not many of us realize that there is a constant war over your life. If I could open up your eyes so that you can see the battle that is over each and every one of your heads, there is a warfare that is going on over top of each and every one. And I'm going to tell you right now, your warfare is different than that one's warfare. And this one's warfare is different than that warfare. And this warfare is different than this warfare. And it all depends on your level of anointing. Now, when you're not anointed and you're just in the world, I'm going to tell you right now, angels aren't really fighting over your salvation. You might think differently, but God has only promised us one thing, that He protects us. He kind of makes sure that you just don't trip into the hole sometimes. There's one of those things where God's love endures forever. And to understand God's love, how He's always been in our lives. God has always been in your lives. It's almost like this. Yes, you can buffet them, but just don't kill them. He'll do whatever. He won't let you be dead before His time. God will not take your life before it's your time. You can hold on to that so the devil can't kill you. God has an appointed time for your life. An appointed time for your life, and He commands the heavens in that area. But before that, you enter into the anointing, you begin to cry out with that broken, contrite heart. That's almost instantly, it's a call for the anointing. Instantly, when you have a broken, contrite heart, instantly you're calling for the anointing. It could be like this, though. You could call for the anointing, get it, and then lose it. And then when you see someone suffering, you might not want to get in the way. You might want to think twice about getting in the way of God. The last thing we ever want to do is pet anybody. I'll tell you right now, if you're petting someone, you are actually getting in the way of God. Don't pet anyone. Protect your anointing. Protect your anointing. Protect your anointing. I'm going to say it again. Protect your anointing. Jesus did it. I got to go to Jerusalem. Oh no, Jesus, you can't go there. Get away from me, Satan. You don't have the mind of God. You don't have the mind of Christ. You don't have the anointing. You can't hear Him. I got to go. You don't have the mind. There's many times Jesus would say, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only say what the Father tells me what to say. I want that level of anointing. I want that level of anointing. I don't want to do anything in vanity. I don't want to live my life in vanity. I don't want to live my life. I don't want to live my life. I want to live my life in Him. 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 How many want to live your life in Him? Maybe it's today we got to die. Maybe today we got to say to ourselves, I got to die to my mind. I got to die
to my flesh. I got to die and seek him with all my heart, soul, and mind. Today is the day. You know, I love when the pastors were talking about earlier that we need to seek his glory. I'm going to tell you right now, you're right. We got to seek his glory with all our heart, soul, and mind. But I'm going to tell you right now, we go from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. I don't know what level of glory I'm in, but I'm going to the next level of glory. Who wants to go to the next level of glory? Amen. You're going. You're going. And have that Spirit of God lead us to that place of glory. And how he leads us is the only thing that we possess that I hope and pray we can be sensitive to. Our heart. This is where he dwells in. This is where he lives. And to be true with your heart is probably the greatest gift that anyone can ask for. Be true to our heart and walk in that heart despite all that is around us. Today was a lot. I would encourage you to get the tape and listen to it over and over and over. But one thing I would say is be aware. Open up your eyes to see the heavens. See the warfare over your head. See how much God loves you. But the crazy thing is, see how much the darkness wants to rob you. You got to see the battle over your head. If you don't see the battle over your head, you're not going to be able to see your life in the anointing. You're going to miss it. You're going to miss it because darkness is the author of confusion. He's the father of lies, and he's the strength and spirit of deception. We have to realize that he is the king of this world. God is the king of the kingdom. Where are we living right now? We're submitted to the kingdom of this world right now until we take ourselves out. And the question is are we out? We might have one foot in and one foot out. I know I got to check and double check where my feet are planted. Let us do this in our own lives with our whole heart. One thing to know, and then to lose the anointing, not knowing we lost the anointing. We covered it with selfish righteousness and pride and everything else, and took the knowledge of grace as a common thing and just puffed ourselves up in grace. He says it's better not to know me than to know me and be lukewarm. And what he was saying is, you can know me with all this grace and be lukewarm. That's a dangerous place to be. It's almost like don't give anyone grace and keep them complacent to the point of just knowing his presence. Getting them rooted and founded and in that presence. That's why Jesus commanded the disciples, go into the upper room. Go up there until you're endured with power. Go up there. Because if you don't get endured with power, you're going to turn into those Pharisees and Sadducees. You're going to be no different than them religious spirits over there. Go endure with power. Know my grace. Know my glory. Know my anointing. Know my presence. Know it all. And seek that, because once you taste and see, you're not going to want to go back. When God gives you a touch, and he touches your life with that presence of glory, That is the greatest gift that anyone could receive, because now you got a taste. And once you get a taste, you never forget what it tastes like. And when you begin to start feeling that you don't have that taste anymore, it throws you right back on the path. If you never tasted the glory, you just get grace. And that knowledge can be dangerous. So I say, let's get the glory. Let's keep crying out the foundations of this ministry, the glory, the anointing, and know that it's encamped in our lives. With that being said, I want to open up the altars. And I also want to gather around Mary Lou, and I want to pray for her. You know, to be in pain, physical pain, it's probably the worst thing ever. I've been blessed, and I haven't experienced physical pain as bad as some people. And maybe we don't quite understand, or maybe we pretend we don't know, and or say we don't believe in the amount of pain. It's not for us to gauge how much pain an individual has, but it's up to us to give that person comfort, no matter what it is. So I'm going to actually ask the pastors and the whole congregation that is here today, everyone,